Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Great to see you online this morning. Welcome to those of you who are watching on Facebook and going to watch on the DVD. Lovely to be together and worship the Lord together. Wonderful song, Hide Me Now Under Your Wings. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has in every way been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what should we do? We've got such a great high priest. We've got such a wonderful savior. What do we do? What's the response? He tells us, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. And that's why we've come together in this way this morning, to approach the throne of grace. Let's do so with confidence because of Jesus, knowing that we're accepted and loved by him. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is a time of need for us as individuals, as a nation. It's a time of need, of great grace and great comfort and great help and support from the Lord. And so we come to him. Let's pray. And then I'm going to ask Martin, as soon as I've said amen, as quickly as he can, to change us over. And we're going to go into that brilliant song, In Christ Alone. My hope is found. And so we're going to affirm who we are and where we are, and we're going to affirm our confidence in Jesus. Pray with me as we start. Father in heaven, we thank you that it's Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, and it's time for us to come together to worship you. We thank you as ever that time and space is no barrier for you, and we can draw near to you wherever we are. And we thank you for the brilliance of technology that we can do this together, even though we're not together in person. We come to worship you. We come to reaffirm our commitment to you, our trust in you. We come to reaffirm our dependence upon you for forgiveness of our sins, for our hope in heaven, for our hope and purpose in life. Come, Lord, in our need, we come as we are, where we come and ask you that you'll move us and change us from what we are, and help us and support us as we travel through this pilgrimage of life here on earth. Father, we bless you. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry in our lives. Thank you that you make Jesus real to us. And we pray that you will do that this morning, that you'll speak to us through the lovely songs and hymns that we listen to and take part in, the reading of your word and what you speak to us through it. Draw us near to our Father. Glorify Jesus, we pray. Hear our prayers and receive our worship as we bring it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here in the love of Christ I stand.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. Doesn't that wonderful word? I love that. You know, you look at your heart and you think, what am I? How can I stand? What hope have I got? Jesus has taken it away through him. No guilt in life. Oh, I just kind of have a hallelujah moment every time I hear that. You know, no one can separate. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. Now, whilst we're here together, I know some of you were logged on for the first time today. Wonderful to have you here. Really glad that you've logged on. I hope that the service is going to be a blessing for you. Right, let's have our action song this morning and a reminder of those hot summer days. We've got a song that the Von Debs did with us. You've known it for ages. We're going to go back. We get to see Tommy Lee's legs this morning in all their glory. And we get to see Annie Rose and Jess and Courtney. And we're going to do the action song, I'm Going to Jump Up and Down. So lots of actions to do with this one. Here we go.
Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready? Yeah. Yes. Let's jump up and down and spin around and round.
Okay, I'm going to change the pace. And as we come into the time where we're going to pray and read and listen to Jesus speak to us, and we're just going to have this lovely song. I know a lot of you really appreciate this song by City of Light. It says, yet not I, but through Christ who lives in me. Let's use this to worship the Lord.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall.
Right, time to get your Bibles, get your tablets, get your device. We're going to come into God's word and we're going to hear now what he's got to say to us this morning. We're going to go to Steve, who's going to read to us from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39. I'm not going to do an exposition of this particular passage this morning, but it does have some really important things to say to us for part of our message, of God's message to us. So over to you, Steve. Matthew 15, 29 to 39.
Matthew 15, 29 to 39. Jesus left there and went along the sea to Galilee. Then he went up the mountain side and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want them to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on their way. His disciples answers, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do we have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, beside women and children. After Jesus sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. May God add his blessing to the reading.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. We need that a lot. Thank you. Right, so we come to God's word and hear what he's got to say for us. We're continuing our Sunday morning series, or our Sunday series, looking at the church, in which we're looking at our foundations. We're going right back to foundations, where that, for some of you who've been Christians, followers of Jesus for a while, there'll be a lot of things that are familiar for you, in which case it is good for us to be reminded of those things and make sure we're still building on those foundations. So easy to just move away, isn't it, with familiarity and time and not even realize it. So for those of us who've been Christians, we're re-establishing, re-looking at some of the basic things. For some of you who are more new to church, these will be new things, and you've heard of church and you know church, you know kind of what we do. Well, we're looking at why we do them, and what the church is, and who we are, and what we're doing, and why we do it. That's really important to be learning for you. Whether some of you, and I'm so glad for you guys who are on here, that are kind of exploring Christianity, you've got a belief in God, a belief in Jesus, but maybe you've not yet got to the point of saying, yeah, I'm going to follow him, I'm in for this, lock, stock and barrel. For you, I hope this series is going to be helpful, or is being helpful as well, as it fills in the bigger picture of what church is, and that it's more than an institution. And you will see the benefits and the value of following Jesus, and the good things that he brings, that come out from being his followers. And it will kind of just bring a fullness to it in your mind. Yeah, I want to be part of this, because I can see here what God is doing and how he's using the church to benefit the people around in the world. This is a good thing to be part of. So I hope for all of us, wherever we are, this is a kind of a series that is useful and beneficial for us. Last week, we looked at the purpose of the church. First week, we saw that the church, it's not an institution, it's those who've been called out by God. It's not just everybody then who tries to rucks up in a building and says, yeah, I want to be part of this. The church, as far as God is concerned, his people are those that he has called. It's a spiritual thing rather than a physical thing. And then we started to say, so what's the purpose? Why does he call these people out? What's the ultimate reason for the church on earth? And we saw last week that it is to glorify God. By the word glorify, we mean to elevate God, to exalt God, to lift God up, that points to him in his goodness and causes people to worship him. It makes people think well of him. It makes We're existing. We're our purpose for being, reason for being, is that we make God great in people's minds, our minds, and in the minds of other people as well. So there is a, and we will see this later on in another part of the series, there is a big missionary function in this of the way we impact other people. But that's all around how we operate and how we, what we are as Christians and what we do as well. How do we know? How the question I want to address this morning is, how do we glorify God? It's one thing to say that that's what we're for, but how do we do that? And if I was to send a text message around and ask you to send me a text back and ask you, you know, which you say, well, I, you know, for your idea, we would probably get a whole range of reasons. And many of them, I'm quite sure, would be good and right. What I want to do this morning is really hopefully to consolidate those things by looking and drawing out from the Bible, particularly looking at the life of Jesus and the way he lived. Because he is our leader, he's our teacher, we are above everything else disciples of Jesus. So if we want to know how we glorify God, where better to look than at our leader, our savior, our rescuer, the one that gives us our names, Jesus Christ. We are Christ ones, Christians. So we look at him, our leader and our teacher, to get our inspiration as to what we do. So let's have a look at him. I got five things for you this morning, five aspects of Jesus' character and his life that teach us. There are undoubtedly others, but these are five of the most important ones. So here we are, church number three, the purpose of the church, part two today. How do we glorify God? And here's the first thing. We glorify God by living humbly. We'll glorify God by living humbly. When we look at Jesus, one of the startling characteristics, one of the wonderful, beautiful character traits of Jesus is his humility. We need to understand, remember who Jesus is. This is the one through whom everything that is was made. Without him, nothing was made that was made, John tells us at the beginning of his gospel. He's instrumental in everything. So this Jesus, he is God, although he lived as man. He is God, he was God, and always will be God. The second person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Jesus who is God, and yet we discover that when he was here on earth, he didn't grasp, he didn't hold on, he didn't feel that position was something that he needed to grasp onto. Instead, he willingly, freely gave it up and took the nature, the form, the role of a servant. Here's a verse for you in Philippians chapter 2, a key verse for us in understanding this. It speaks of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to at all costs, but made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, he lived and died as a servant, first of all, of God. That second bit, I just want you to take up, I kind of misquoted there. The quote finishes at the speech mark, the quotation mark. It finishes being made in human likeness. Then it's part of my notes, which I shouldn't have put on there, all right? Forget my bit of note. The scripture there is saying that he's made in human likeness, taking the form of a servant. What's Jesus like? Jesus, who came to glorify God, we saw that last week. He came and he took the form, the nature of a servant. First of all, a servant of God. There's a verse in John where Jesus is reported as saying, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. I haven't come to live as I want. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. He came to do the will of God, humble before him, just to come and serve God. But he also, we see over and over again, he came to serve people as well. Perhaps nowhere is this servant nature, this humble nature of Jesus seen more than in regards to people than the time when just before he died, he was in the upper room and he sat his disciples down and he went round and he washed their feet. The lowest of low positions, the lowest of low duties, but Jesus washed the disciples' feet. What a thing, what humility, what condescension from Jesus himself. When we look at Jesus' life, nowhere do we find him demanding of people, not even of the Father, always though submitting to God. No wonder he's able to say in Matthew, take my yoke upon you. This is what he says to us, take my yoke and learn from me. Learn from me because I am gentle and humble in heart. There'll be benefit for us. You will find rest for your souls, but we're to learn from him. What do we learn from him? I am gentle and humble in heart. Learn from me. So number one thing, the way we will glorify God is not by doing anything. It's by being something, by being humble in all our ways. It's about an attitude rather than an action, being rather than doing. Humility, that's the first thing. Second way in which we will glorify God, as we look at the life of Jesus, we will see that Jesus lived obediently. We've kind of started to see this already, but we see that Jesus was obedient to his Father. How will we glorify God? We will glorify God as we live obediently to him, as we do what he says. That will, even without trying, it will bring glory to God. You see, the result of humility, the consequence of humility, is that we will be willing and desiring, wanting to do what God instructs us, what he guides us, what he calls us to do. In John 17, keeping with Jesus for a moment, this is right at the end. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to be arrested. And this was what Jesus prayed. He said, I have brought you glory on earth. How had he brought glory to God? He says, by completing the work you gave me to do. By completing what you gave me to do. I brought you glory by obeying you, by doing what you asked me to do, what you sent me to do. And in another place in John's gospel, he says this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus wasn't about what he wanted to do, what he felt like doing. His task, the way he brought glory to God, was by doing what the Father gave him to do, what the Father told him to do, becoming a servant even to the point of death, obeying God, setting aside his will. Father, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he went on and said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This prayer of Jesus, this humility and this obedience of Jesus, and he would not let anything get in his way. When he knew the time was coming for him to be arrested and be executed, to be put on the cross, which was the pinnacle of why he came, Luke records that Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. He set to travel to Jerusalem because that was where he knew the pinnacle of his ministry was to take place. That was why he came. That was why the Father had sent him. And he set his face steadfastly, resolutely to go there because he was obedient. What does that say to us? In our lives, We will itemize, I'm sure, over the next few weeks, and we will need to give ourselves to thinking, what is it that he wants us to do? What is it? In what ways do we obey him? That's not my point this morning. My point here, God's point here in his word, as we look at Jesus, is simply to look at the example of our leader. He was obedient. If we want to obey, if we want to glorify God, it will involve us being obedient. You can start to look at your heart. You can start to look at your life right now as we go through this. Are there things that you know you should be doing that you're not? You want to glorify God. You want to fulfill this role, this purpose. You want to play your part. Then look, how obedient are you? You'll glorify him by being obedient. You'll lift him up by being obedient, not just in the outward things, but oftentimes the attitude of heart as well. All right, so those are the first two things, humility and obedience. The third thing that we see when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus glorified God by caring for other people. Jesus glorified God by caring for people. And we will glorify God as we care for people. I think this is an aspect of Jesus' life and ministry that in churches like ours that are rightly big on the spoken message and declaring and sharing the good news of Jesus, it's an aspect that we can, if we're not careful, slip over and miss the significance and the importance of the caring for others. And the fact that so very often Jesus cared for them simply because it was the right thing to do, simply because they were people made in the image of God, simply because God loves the world. Even those that aren't saved, even those that are not part of the kingdom, he loves them all. So many, many times, and this is where we start to come into the passage that Steve read for us this morning. Many times we read where Jesus saw the crowds, that he had compassion on them. And compassion is a word, a particular Greek word, and it means that he was moved inside, something moved inside. It's the kind of thing that we may experience when we see something on the television, we see a report, we see people in desperate needs, or we see something in our situation, or we hear of a friend in a colleague at work, and our hearts go out to them, and something just churns inside us. There is a physical response rather than just a mental thing. The word compassion, that's what it's about. It's having a physical thing. It's a great Greek word, splanchanomai, splanchnar. I just use that word. It's one of those words that fascinates me. But it means being moved inside, but it means being moved and then responding to it. Not just saying, oh, I feel sorry for them, and then kind of switching over and carrying on to what it means, feeling sorry, but being moved in a way that we then respond. And we see over and over again in Jesus' life, this compassion for people in the world. It was part of the, when Jesus operated, when Jesus worked, it would be healing people, it would be speaking to people. And there is an element, that a large element of which that's part of the in, what I call the inbreaking of the kingdom. It demonstrates the change that God brings. It shows God's power over sin. It shows the demonstrates the change that Jesus brings. John calls them signs. They are signs that point to greater things. But whilst they're signs, they are also very often simply responding to people in their helplessness, regardless of whether people believed him and trusted in him, regardless of the response that it had. And a great example of that is that we see in this passage, part of which Steve read in Matthew. If you read from chapter 14, 15 and 16, it's a passage of time where Jesus, over and over again, his heart goes out to help people. It starts with him hearing the news of John the Baptist's death, his cousin. His response is to withdraw, to go by himself, to get away from it. He needs some downtime, some replenishing. But when he goes away, the people get to hear where he was, and a huge crowd comes around him. And although he needs downtime, we read that he had compassion on them. And the result was that he fed them. a crowd of 5,000 people. A little while later, having moved on from there, he goes again, a bit further away, into Gentile country. And he wants to get some time with his disciples. He needs some time away, needs some time of rest. But there's a Gentile woman. She is not a God worshipper. She would have had her own religion. And she comes to Jesus because she's heard about him. And she says, "Can you heal my son?" And Jesus' response is, "You're not part of those who I've come to save." And she pleads with him and she wrestles with him. And in the end, Jesus heals the woman's child. Out of compassion, she wasn't going to become a follower as far as we know. But Jesus did it out of compassion for that woman. And then he goes on and we have another feeding of a multitude, the one that Steve read here. And we read in there the way that Jesus had compassion on them. People came, he's still tired. He wants some rest, but they come and the people lay their sick and they're poor and they're weak and they're ill people before, and he heals all of them. And there's this crowd of people and Jesus sees them and he has compassion and he feeds them again. What was the result? The result was they had food in their stomachs, people were healed, but because of the way he cared, they praised God. It didn't mean that they all became Christians. Didn't mean they all became followers of him. They didn't. But they were glad that he was there. And one of the things for any local church is we want people to be glad that we're part of the community, don't we? We want people to be glad that we're here. And we want to carry on the reputation that Fressingfield Baptist Church has had for many, many years. We want this village to be glad that there is a church here. We want people to be glad as we care for people, as we continue to look after them, as we continue to have compassion and show the love of Jesus, that people are glad that we exist as a church in this village. They might not become followers of Jesus, but in their way, they will be glad. And in their way of gratitude, they will be glad and they will, in their way, praise God for us. How do we bring glory to God? It is by caring for other people. And I believe as we go into our new building, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for this. Ways that we haven't been able to capture and utilize before. And I think key in there will be the flexibility of our building and the cafe and the introduction area, the foyer area where we're going to have space. I think that's going to be a key part. And Peter has said that as we come out of lockdown, you know, people are going to want a place to go to meet with people. We're going to have a wonderful opportunity of just facilitating that. People being glad that we're here. How can we glorify God? Simply by caring for people. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and do what? And praise your Father in heaven." Notice what it is. Let your light shine before men. We might think that's speaking. It's in this instance, it's not. He says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds." This is the way we live. This is our good actions. This is our compassion. This is our deeds. And praise your Father in heaven. He calls us to be people of compassion. That's one way that we will glorify God. We'll bring glory to him. We'll point people to him. People will think well of him. All right, that's three things. Number four, we've got to crack on. Number four, the fourth way that Jesus brought glory to God, and the ways that we will, is by teaching and training people. Key aspect of Jesus. His life of ministry was teaching and training. And that will, the purpose of that is to lift people and explain who Jesus is, who God is, what he's like, and to train them to serve him. Because Jesus loved God, he obeyed him. And because he loved people, he taught them. He taught them the better way. He taught them and explained to them what God is like. Who is like a major part of his ministry? We see him training the 12 disciples so often. The majority of the Gospels, when you look at them as Jesus going with his disciples to teach them and train them, to equip them for the ministry when he'd gone. Part of church life is teaching, training us, equipping us with the word of God so that we know how to live, what to live, what he wants us to be like, so that our lives can be transformed into the image of God. So that we become like Jesus. Teaching and training, crucial, crucial part of church life. Not only did Jesus teach the disciples, the believers, but he would also take time to teach the crowds, the people that would come to him. Whenever a crowd gathered, he took the opportunity to teach them. It says in Mark chapter 10, again, the crowds came to Jesus, and as was his custom, he taught them. What would Jesus teach those that were interested but weren't his followers? What did he teach them? Well, he would teach them about God. He taught them about relationships, how to live together. He taught them what God's standard was, what God's way is. He would teach them how much better it is following his way than ignoring him with all the consequences. And this is where we can fulfill a huge function in our culture today, in a culture, Western culture, where most people have no or very little understanding and very little regard for God, no knowledge of the Bible. Certainly the younger generation will be incredibly ignorant. One of our great tasks is to use the opportunity that we have, whether it's in a formal setting or whether it's in a just among our friends, in our family, over a coffee. It doesn't have to be in church. We're talking about church. Church isn't only when we meet. We are the church. So you get to meet with a lot of people that will never set foot in a building. So how do you glorify God as part of the church? Talk to them and explain to them how much better it is. The wisdom of God in Jesus to follow God's ways. You know, I remember reading once that in a prison, the prisoners didn't like the inmates didn't like the rules. And so they said to the prison, right, you tell us, what rules do you think? What rules would make this place a better place? And they wrote down, and what they came down with was things like, don't murder, keep your word, don't lie, don't steal. Sound familiar? The wisdom of God in Jesus, the wisdom of God. There's never been a better, a more liberating, more kind, more gracious, more life-fulfilling, more satisfying way than the way of God revealed in the Bible. So teaching, training, those who are disciples, those who are outside. But then Jesus also, a key part of what he did was proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the message, proclaiming the good news. And you'll see that everywhere that Jesus went, he proclaimed the good news. The good news. When he was with the opponents, he would tackle them and he would debate with them and he would critique them. But to the ordinary people, he didn't condemn them. He taught them as those who lived without a shepherd, as sheep without a shepherd. He didn't tell them what they were doing wrong. He would tell them what is right. And he told them a better way. And he set out for them hope. And he set out for them a future. He set out for them love and grace and kindness and a welcome from God, an acceptance from God. He set out for them a purpose. He set out for them the way to be satisfied. Come to me, he said, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest. This is good news. And our task, our role, we will glorify God as we copy Jesus in sharing the good news. Instead of pointing fingers and saying how bad people are, offering them the way of hope, the way of rescue. Very often people, if they're interested in things, they know that their life is a mess. They know they're not finding satisfaction. They know that life is empty. They're looking for something more. And we have it. In abundance. How will we glorify God? By sharing with people in church and out of church, in our formal meetings and gatherings, and in our everyday conversations, as we have courage to talk to them and share with them the good news of Jesus. Lastly, the last of the five things is, how do we glorify? What did Jesus do? Jesus stood up for justice. He stood up for justice. He stood up for the little people in life. Isaiah. God says through Isaiah, he says that here is my servant. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout out or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Justice. What is this justice that Jesus brings? What is it about him? What's it on about? It's simply bringing justice and standing up and caring for the little people. It's being on the side of the marginalized. It's being on the side of those who are abused by the system. Caring for those who aren't cared for. In Jesus' day, the likes of the Pharisees lorded it over people and made life very difficult. Trod them down, kept them in submission. And yes, Jesus criticized the Pharisees, but he stood up and pleaded the case. He was known as the friend of sinners. Isn't that lovely? The friend of sinners. People liked Jesus because they knew he was on their side. He worked and cared, supported them. We want to be known as the friends of sinners, don't we? I want Fressingfield Baptist Church to continue to have a reputation of being on the side of those that have not. A friend of those who are on the edge. A friend of those who failed. A friend of those whose lives have been messed up. A friend of those who've been abused, a friend of those who are hurting, a friend of those who have no other friends. That was what Jesus was, the friend of sinners. So how does that glorify God? People thought well of Jesus. And as we live and we continue to live and act and minister in that way, people will think well of God for the love and the care that we show. It's kindness, it's thoughtfulness, it's being on the side of those that have not. In the Old Testament, we said that the word ecclesia was applied to the people of Israel. It's now applied to the Church of God, which includes believing Jews and believing non-Jews. But that in the Old Testament, where the ecclesia was only the people of Israel. One of the things that God said to his people is you need to care for the marginalized, you need to care for the poor, those that have not. And you know, one of the things that constantly he came up with, one of the ways that they failed most of all was that they didn't care for those. They carried on the same abuse of position and power that was seen in the nations around. And he said, you, my people, should be different from this. What is the essence of being a man or a woman of God? And in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we read this. He has shown you, man, what is good. What does the Lord require from you? What's the essence of being a man or a woman of God? It is, said God through Micah, To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice. How does that work out? Well, that's one of the things which we can think through, the way it impacts what we do and how we are. The church isn't a social enterprise. We can't replace social services. It is different to Israel's time. It is different to New Testament times. We are blessed to have a government. We're blessed to have a social security system. That doesn't absolve us, though, of the responsibility and the opportunity to care for others, showing Christian grace and kindness and love and compassion to those in need. And there are lots of opportunities that we can do it, that we can be friends of sinners. So where does this all end up? Let's land where we've gone this morning. As God's people, we follow the example of Jesus. How did Jesus glorify God? I've given you five things here. By living humbly, by living obediently, by caring for people, by teaching and training, by standing up for justice. And when we do those things, we are not going to go far wrong. We're not going to go far wrong. We probably can't do them all equally all the time. No one person can do all of them. Our natures and our characters will mean that we will tend towards one more than another. But between us, as a church, those are the things that will help us glorify God in our day and our generation. Let me repeat what we've seen here. It's not just about doing, it's about being. We are called human beings, not human doings. Our doing flows out of what we are as God's people. And we'll try and open this up a little bit more in the weeks to come. Let's just take a moment or two as we finish and before we rush off, take a moment or two to reflect on what this says to us individually. And there'll be opportunities, I think, in the days to come where we'll look and say, well, how does that mean to us as a church? What do we do? How do we reflect those things? But right now, just pause for a moment and think, how does my life reflect those things? Are any of those things, humility, obedience, learning, caring, justice, things that the Holy Spirit prompts you that you need to work on for us as a church? Which is your weakest area? Which of those do you find it hardest to do? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to move in us and help us to rely on the power of Jesus to make those changes. Lord Jesus, we've seen very clearly what you were like and what your character was, a little bit of what you did and how that worked out. We would ask as a scattered people, but as one, we would ask you this morning that by the Spirit you will help us to be like you. That we as a people, as individuals in our own lives, but then as a group together, that we would be marked by humility, that we would be marked by obedience, that we would be a learning community, that we would be a caring community, that we would be a community that's concerned for other people, that we would be a community known as the friend of sinners, in order that we might bring glory to you. Move in us by your Spirit. Shape us, we pray. Mold us to be like you, to glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. I posted a song on Facebook this week. It's an old song. And I wasn't sure why it came to my mind, but when I started to reflect more on the message this morning, I just realized it flowed out and articulates so much of our heart as we come to the word this morning and the response. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. And it goes through just asking the Lord to work in us so that we might work in others. I found a version which I think we'll be able to manage this morning. It's hard finding good versions to play of the old hymns. That's why you'll notice we don't have that many of them. It's really difficult to find some that work on like this. But we found one this morning. Think of the words, even if it's not the style in which we would normally. Look at the words. Pray this prayer with me, will you, this morning, as we finish our service. Martin, can you play, Lord, speak to me that I may speak? our usual style, but that's it, isn't it? Can you better those words as a prayer as we go into the week? Oh, Lord, use us just as you want, wherever you want, and how you want. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you today and always. Amen. Amen, and God bless you. If you want to develop some of those thoughts from this morning, if you've got questions about them, love to have a conversation. I'm very much hoping that in the weeks and months to come, we will have conversations around these things. How do we work this out in practice? What does it mean in terms of our church? Don't leave it all just for me saying things on a Sunday. I want to encourage you to be thinking, engaging with it, and ideas as to what that might look like in practice. So there we are. Do be in touch if you'd like to.